Let's turn to our Bibles. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Anyone else need a Bible? Let's have everyone be seated so we can start. Yes? She's leaving this coming Tuesday, 2 days from now? Ellen, we're going to miss you. All right, very good. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what it's like to return to China today. How's that? I think. So I'm not going back to China, but some people are. So one more time. I'd like to pray one more time. I like praying. Father, please open our hearts now. Please bless this series on family. Please take away any distraction and let us just have time focusing on your truth, the truth of your word. Let your peace be around us, your presence and power be with us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began a study. We finished 1 Corinthians and we began a 5-week study that we're doing on family. After that, I'll be returning to our regular studies, probably in 2 Corinthians, I'm thinking. But for now, we've had so many young families developing. We've got a couple of marriages on the horizon. Yay. We've got some baby dedications, maybe, coming up. And I thought it was good that if we as a church took a look at God's principles for family. And so last week was kind of, you know, if you go to a restaurant, there's the appetizer. You go, oh, that's good. And then there's the main course, and then there's dessert. Okay, well, when it comes to the subject of marriage, last week was the appetizer. We talked about how God created marriage, and it's a wonderful institution. It's part of his original plan for creation, is that Adam have Eve, and that they be fruitful and multiply. We studied that last week. Now, today, we go from the appetizer to the main course. And the main course is, how should we behave as husbands and wives? What is it like to live out our marriages? How do we honor God in our marriages? Next week, I hope you can be here. Next week is the dessert. The dessert will be the book of Song of Solomon. And that book is just fun. It is about the romantic and sexual love between a Solomon and a Shunammite bride. It pictures our relationship of Christ and the church. And it really shows us the great freedom and blessing that there is on marriage. So I hope you can be here for the dessert next week. But let's go to the main course right now, Ephesians 5. I'm going to talk about the role of husbands and wives. Before I say anything, may I make one thing clear to you? Ladies and husbands and men, we are co-heirs together in Christ. In Galatians 3:28, it says there is neither Jew neither Greek nor barbarian or male nor female. It doesn't matter. So none of us are superior. God has established within the marriage a leadership role for the husband, and there's a certain role for the wife, and I want to go over that today. But let's understand as we begin this study that women are declared to be co-heirs in Christ, and so I want that understood. By the way, today's message, if you have a bulletin, you can just follow it exactly. I think I'm going to be following this outline completely. So you can just say, there's the study and take it home with you. Because all the scriptures are given there for you. Okay? And you can take notes in that if you want to. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21. We read it last week. Let's read it again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body. He feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Pretty simple outline. It begins in verse 21 with the fact that there is mutual submission. The word submit is hupotasso. It means to be under an authority. And all of us are under the authority of Christ. And so the men are also in submission. Okay, and it says submit to one another. But it then very specifically it addresses the wives in submission. But I want to talk to the husbands first this morning. Guys, I'm going to start with you. I was going to start with the ladies, but then they would think I was picking on them. So I thought with the guys, okay? And actually, I'm not going to say anything that would beat up anybody. I'm not going to say anything this morning that's really clever. There's nothing here that I'm going to tell you that you probably didn't know, but I just want to go over what marriage is supposed to look like. I've been married. I don't have all the answers. I've been married for, if I make it to September, it'll be 45 years, okay? My mother was married almost 70 years, so you can talk to her afterwards. But in any case, in 45 years, in walking with Christ, mostly for 40 of those years, you learn some things. And to begin with, I got to tell you, I have an unfair advantage. I've got the best wife in the world. So, it's kind of, how can you fail? You can't fail, But there are rules that govern the conduct of marriage if it's to be what God wants. Husbands, the first thing I listed in your outline today is love sacrificially. Love sacrificially. And we all know the story in John 13. I'm going to be turning to some of these scriptures. You can turn or you can just listen, but I always think it's good for us to turn our pages. So if you want to turn your pages, turn to John chapter 13, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And I would like to read that once again. It says in John 13, it was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that his time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from the Father and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later on you will understand." "And no," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then, "Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. You are clean, but not every one of you." Skipping down to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. And he said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Now, I suppose I didn't have to read that entire section of Scripture, but I chose to. Very simply, Jesus is our Lord, and yet he chose to wash our feet. Husbands, you're put in the place of leadership in your house, but that leadership makes you the number one servant. Jesus, brothers and sisters, is the servant king. The very nature of God is that he serves. How about that? It says in Matthew 20:28, I'll read it to you, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." When we are told, brothers, husbands, love your wives, the word there is agape, agapeo. And it is a sacrificial love defined in 1 Corinthians 13, which means sacrificially love. And you can read 1 Corinthians 13. Love keeps no record of wrongs and so forth. Love is patient. Love is kind. And we all come short of that. But the example of love is Jesus himself, gentlemen. So you think we have the bar set pretty high. And it says, God demonstrates his agape in this, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in my loving of my wife, God wants me to love her sacrificially. Now, I come way short in giving, I'm just telling you right now, but I'm learning that as I prepare the food and do the dishes, which she does much more often than I do, but I do prepare the food a lot, as I do anything like that and I have the chance to serve my wife, you know, there's joy in serving, right, guys? And the best thing we can do is to love our wives in practical ways by serving them. And it says, so that's what we are called to do. That's point one. I'm just going to leave it at that for the moment. Number two in your outline today is be gentle. You see that? Be gentle. And I just turned to 1 Peter 5:7. It's real simple. One scripture. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Do I have the wrong place? I hate it when I get the wrong address. Apparently I do. 1 Peter 3:7. I apologize. I can blame my secretary, but no. Okay, it was my fault. It's my fault. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Janet types everything for me. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, if you're harsh with your wife, it affects your prayer life. I remember one simple illustration, and I've never forgot it. I was a new Christian. I was on fire for Jesus. I had a two-year honeymoon. You always might say, wow, with the Lord. And I was teaching at Fallbrook High School. Everybody knew that Roger had become a Christian. And one morning, as I went off to work, I had an argument with my wife. And hard to believe, isn't it? And as I left the home in my Volkswagen, I peeled out of the driveway. It's hard to do this in a Volkswagen, making tire marks to let her know I was mad. Was that smart of me? You know, this on fire new Christian, that'll show her. She knows I'm mad now. I got to school. I got my little briefcase, and I went, okay, I'm going to go be a witness for God. And I went, uh-oh. All of a sudden, I totally knew I had to straighten that out. Because people are going to, all day long, I need to be a Christian. I need to share my faith. Okay, so hopefully the cell phone will stop. Does anybody know whose cell phone that is? Oh, my. Back here on stage? Okay, Marlon, is it you? Okay. Can we throw it into the ocean, please? Okay. Please turn off all cell phones. Thank you. So back to the story, ladies and gentlemen. Don't watch Marlon, watch me. Okay. Okay, I've got that's it. Yeah, you lose an audience that way. Thank you, Marlon. Okay, but I need you back up here. Here we go. Okay. So I peel out and I get to work and I go, wow. And I immediately ran to the teacher's lounge, grabbed the telephone, and said, Janet, I am sorry. And I know that's a silly illustration, but if you carry harshness towards your wife, it hinders your walk, gentlemen, with God. Now, we all blow it. And I would hasten to say that two of the most important words in marriage for, and oh, by the way, all of these points that I'm making for men really could apply to women and vice versa for the most part, except leadership, which I do believe is reserved for men. But in being gentle, there's two magic words, okay, a couple of things. One of them is, I'm sorry, or forgive me. And it's hard to humble yourself and forgive me, I'm sorry. Sometimes it takes me a while. I have to let something go, and then I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. But always remember how healing that is. So be gentle with your wives. Number one, be a servant. Number two, be gentle. Item three on your outline, brothers, I put step up and lead. Step up and lead. Men, you are called to lead. We already read in Ephesians 5:26 that you are to wash your wife in the water of the word. You are to wash your wife in the water of the word. In other words, in some indirect way, you have something to do with her sanctification. You have something to do with presenting your wife to Jesus, because you take his word and you read it and you wash your own wife in the water of the word. And that role has been given to you guys. And so, and it also is, we're going to see when we get to the children part, after we get past dessert next week, I'm going to talk about raising children the following week. And as we get to that, what does it say? Fathers, bring up your children in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. So that means I'm also supposed to teach my kids the Bible, huh? And you know a good solution for that? Read the Bible at the table for one of your meals. Just have, I always have my whole Christian walk since I figured this out. I have one bookmark, which is where my personal time is. But I have a lot of bookmarks. I have one where the church is on Sunday morning. I have one where my personal time is. And I have one bookmark that is where I am reading to my family. I would encourage you, read to your wife. Maybe read one chapter. If you can't do a chapter, do less. But make time to read something. We are currently in Jeremiah. And because we've had mom here this week, we've been reading several chapters of Jeremiah each morning. It's a little bit of wrath and stuff, but I actually just go through the Bible. I start in Genesis, I go to Revelation, I go around. Where are we today? And you're reading your wife the word. And God is pleased, gentlemen. God is smiling when you do that. You're also to lead your wife in being in fellowship. Keep your wife in, you know, you take your family to church. That falls on you, brothers. Spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership is, we're going to church, sweetheart. And spiritual leadership is trying to get her there. And making sure that, you know, because she needs it, you need it. Of course, there's times she can't. I understand that. Might be sick or something. But, you know, try and keep your family in the household of faith. That falls on you, men. To stay in fellowship and to lead spiritually in the word. And also, this is a real important one, to lead your family, your wife, in prayer. A lot of guys struggle with too much pride to pray. You know, they don't want to make themselves vulnerable before their wives. No. Humble yourself. Lead your wife in prayer. And if a problem comes up, there's a problem. Oh, no, how are we going to pay a bill? Pray. Immediately pray. So you just say, okay, sweetheart, let's pray about that. Let's pray. I stop many times in the middle of the day and I say, Janet, let's pray. And sometimes she'll do it for me too. She'll say, I've got my mind. You know, I say, yeah, well, let's pray about that. And we pray together. And if you lead your wife in prayer and you lead your wife in the word, you are doing the priestly duty that a man is supposed to do in his household. You are leading your family in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, there is a sacrificial love that has to be demonstrated in the way you live, and that includes gentleness. I made a whole point of just gentleness. But also, there is a leadership in the word, in prayer, and in fellowship. One thing I want to say about prayer is it keeps communication in the marriage healthy. I don't have to teach a whole big seminar on communication in marriage if you will just learn to pray with your wife. Because if you pray with each other, he'll hear each other's heart during prayer. Because prayer, sincere prayer, is the laying bare of our heart. It's talking to God. and those things that come out, we kind of get on the same page. You know, if I start an elders meeting, I always want to start it with prayer. I find that if you start an elders meeting without prayer, it's going to be a lot of business. If you start an elders meeting with prayer, then everything just kind of, you're all unified. You're ready to go because you've gotten the mind of the Holy Spirit. And so the same thing is true in marriage. A lot of unity that you will have in your marriage if you just spend time in prayer together. Now, I know some of you are busy. You have hard jobs and challenges, but I would encourage you, make time when you can. When the baby's sleeping or whatever, make time. Say, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. And if that spiritual leadership is so important. Gentlemen, that's for us. Item 4 on my list today, this list was just kind of came into my head, is listen to her counsel. Listen to your wife's counsel. Being the leader, gentlemen, does not mean you're the know-it-all. In a matter of fact, the best counsel I ever get is from my wife. James 1:19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That should be true in life. We should listen to everyone. We should listen to one another. One of the signs of spiritual immaturity is someone who's always talking but doesn't know when to listen. It says in Proverbs, he who talks before listening, that is his folly and shame. Being quick to listen, slow to speak. I've written some Proverbs down, and I'll just read them to you. Listen to this. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. I need my wife's advice. And then I already quoted Proverbs 18:13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. And Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and you will be wise. And Proverbs 20, verse 18, make plans by seeking advice. And so I go, Janet, what do you think? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And always, in a military, let's just say you're the captain and she's your lieutenant, okay? Because even though you're co-heirs in Christ, there is an order. And so you go, hey, lieutenant, what do you think we should do here? And you get your lieutenant's best advice. Now, if my lieutenant disagrees with me, I take it back into prayer again. I go, you know, if we're not on the same page here, I better repray this. And if we still have thought about it, and ultimately, if there's still a disagreement, but I just know that feel otherwise, then that's where submission comes in. I say, sweetheart, no, I really want you to trust me on this. She goes, okay. But I don't want to reject that counsel lightly, because most of the time, Janet and I will get on the same page by praying things out. And so listen to your wife's counsel, guys. That's the best way to be a leader, is to be a good listener. And finally, item 5, men, on your list is be romantic. I just threw that in. That's my personality, but it's also biblical. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. You probably noticed that your pastor likes the book of Proverbs. I do. I've been reading it all my Christian life, and I love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 30. I hope in your daily reading time you consider Proverbs, because as I've said, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs and 31 days in most months of the year. Proverbs 30, verse 18. It says, there are 3 things that are too amazing for me, 4 that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a maiden. Those are amazing things. Look at that eagle soaring. How does it do that? And then you look at that snake on the rock, and I've seen a snake on the rock. I've seen a ship on the high seas. But right with that list is the way of a man with a maiden. In other words, the guy knows how to he's got a little class in how he woos his maiden. That's how I take that. And she never ceases to be your maiden, guys. You know how you remember the days when you're actually dating each other and you like open the car door, you know? Okay? Greg Laurie says, now you slam it on her leg. No, I'm just kidding. But it's very easy to lose those manners. You don't want to do that. You want to, you remember, open the door for her once in a while. Show, it says something to her. You can't always, I don't do it every time I'm at Safeway or something, but I like to open the door for my wife now and again. And not to mention taking her on a date once in a while. You know, get a babysitter, if possible, and say, I'm taking you on a date. We're going to rediscover us over the next 2 hours. And I know that's difficult for some of you right now, but you got to make time for you, each other. You got to make time for each other. My greatest need I used to have as a young pastor was a babysitter. My kingdom for a babysitter. So you want to minister to somebody, be a babysitter for them. Say, I'm willing to take your children so you can have some free time. So you can go out to dinner. I'll take your kids. You're really doing something great if you do that. So husbands, don't forget to be romantic. Take your wife on dates. Bring her flowers. That goes a long way. You'd be flying high for a while. You know, once in a while, pick up some flowers or candy if you want to fatten her up, I guess, or whatever. And then don't forget nice phrases like, you look beautiful. You look beautiful today. You look really beautiful. Or you look sexy. Sexy girl. It's okay to do that. Be here next week for Song of Solomon. It's okay to do that. It's good. Feed the fire, gentlemen. Don't take romance. I've been married 45 years. I still feel romantic. It doesn't go away. Okay? It's not supposed to go away. It's not ever supposed to go away. So feed that side of your relationship. And as I said, there's a whole book about it, Song of Solomon. Okay. That's once over lightly. Go to the bottom of the outline, and ladies, you're on. Wives, okay. A, wives, again, from our text, we already read it in Ephesians, be submissive and be respectful. It already says it in our text in Ephesians. Submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. May I say something here, men and women first? We are not in the business of changing our spouse. God did not ask me to shape Janet. He'll do that. He asked me to love her. And wives, God did not call you to shape your husbands. You submit to him and you let God do that task. If you try and manipulate your husband and change him, it will backfire. And likewise, if you try and, wife, submit to me, and you're trying to, that won't backfire too. Let God make those changes. Greg Laurie says, quit reading each other's mail. Your male guy says love, and women, your male says submit, and God will make the changes, and we are to just love and to submit. But wives, you are to submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. This, remember, this whole thing is just a picture of heaven. Jesus and his bride, the church, those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Don't forget the gospel. Christ died. He was buried. He rose on the third day. Whoever believes is not going to perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life is a free gift, a free gift. And we become the bride of Jesus Christ. And so our marriage shows the world what Christ looks like. I love my wife as Christ loves his church. And my wife submits to me as the church submits to Christ. And wow, that's a beautiful picture. That is such a beautiful picture. And that's what God wants. Now, item one, ladies, is be respectful and submissive. I've taken some unusual scriptures in Proverbs. I want to read them to you. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. May I read that again? The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. Ladies, you have the capacity to establish a great home or to tear your home apart. And may I say, unfortunately, I've seen both things happen. I've seen the portion, I know what it is to build the wise woman who builds her home. I'm married to her. But I have seen cases where women destroy their own marriages, even their own families. And but you are the anchor of the home, ladies, and it's important that you build your house. And in that regard, I know I'm going to sound like I'm picking on you, but you don't want to be doing what they call, are you ready? Nagging. Don't nag. Proverbs 21:9. Proverbs 21:9, it says, better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And then Proverbs 21:19 says, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. So those are pretty profound. And then finally, it's three times in Proverbs 25:24 says, Proverbs 25:24, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Don't drive your husband away by being quarrelsome and ill-tempered, but be submissive and respectful. The word for submit is hupotasso. It means subject to or subjection in the King James. It is a military term. It means to rank under or to place in an orderly fashion. And so God has placed the marriage order, and women, you are called to submit to and follow after respectfully your husbands. It says in 1 Corinthians 11 that Christ is the head of the man the head of the woman, that woman was created for man as a helpmate. We covered that last week. You were created to be a helpmate to your husband. He needs your help. Help him with whatever task he has to do. 1 Timothy chapter 2 very simply says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. God does not want the woman to take that place of authority over a man. And so in the household, the leadership role belongs to the husband. So, submission. Now, by the way, you do not have to submit to evil. If your husband says, honey, we're going to rob a bank today, you are not obligated to submit to it. Okay, if your wife asks you to do something which is clearly, your husband asks you to do something which is clearly, ridiculously non-biblical, you do not have to submit to it. But other than that, you submit. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute as I close. Item two on the list, not be given to fear. Ladies, don't be given to fear. The reason I say that is because you are in the role of submission, it can be a little bit scary if your husband is not doing a real good job, right? You go, wait a minute, he's not doing a very good job, and I have to submit to him. So turn to 1 Peter. This is a very important scripture, everybody. Men and women, everybody in the room, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. This is such a valuable portion of scripture. I hope you'll stay with me on this and follow it because it's really helpful for understanding of what God wants. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13. Listen, this is what the definition of submission is. It says in verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to kings as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent to punish them who do wrong and commend those who do right. It's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. Don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourself to your master with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Now notice the next part, verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he did not make no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, and now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without talk by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from an outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. I'm probably reading a little more than I have to, but do you understand that everybody's in submission? I have to submit to the kings. Donald Trump is my president, and I'm not being political here. He's an authority. Governor Brown is my governor. I respect that. I have a mayor and a city council. Michael Bryan is the chief of police. We are all in submissive to levels of authority. Governmental authority was established by God. But also, if you were a slave, or we'll call you an employee for today, you're in submission to your boss. You're to do it, even if he's a bad boss. You submit. And then it says, your example is Christ. He submitted to the cross, and he didn't even deserve it. And then it says, therefore, as Christ went to that cross and didn't deserve it, in the same way, wives be submissive, husbands be submissive. So even if I don't deserve it, submit. Even if he's not worthy of the respect, you respect him. Isn't that a concept? You know, you hear people say, you know, I don't really respect my dad or my mom. Well, you must respect them because their position says that they deserve respect. It is a positional thing. God has established the man as the head of the home. And even if your husband's an unbeliever, it says that they will be won over without talk by your behavior. So your beauty isn't merely, I like the Amplified Bible better. It's not saying you can't wear fine clothes. It's saying it's not merely gold jewelry. It's not merely fine clothes. It's the inner beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit. You're the daughter of Sarah if you do what is right and don't give way to fear. I saw a lot of marriages when I counseled in Big Bear, California. That was the difficulty in that area, the leaven of divorce. And by the way, there is no D word to be in your vocabulary. Are you married? You're locked in. You stay together. And therefore, that's why we were learning about this, to make it work well. And sometimes the women go, oh, but my husband's being so scary. He's not reading the word. And, you know, he's doing this. And, you know, or I caught him doing pornography or something. Well, that's bad. But are you going to panic? Or are you going to continue to respect and love your wife? Your husband, because God, you don't give way to fear. Listen to the example of Sarah. You know the story of Sarah? Abraham in the Old Testament, Abraham was not a perfect man. And he goes to Sarah and he goes to Pharaoh in Egypt. And he goes, Sarah was so beautiful. She was very beautiful. And he said, Sarah, you're really beautiful. And they're going to kill me when they see you just to get you. So say you're my sister, okay? Just tell them you're my sister. So they go in there and go, okay, this is my sister. Oh, okay. And Pharaoh then tries to bring her into the palace and be with her, but God protects Sarah. She was never touched. And the same thing happens later again. He says, with Abimelech, another king, he says, Sarah, you're my sister. So they bring him in. Abimelech wants to make overtures. Oh, your sister, she's attractive. But God protects Sarah. It was a bad judgment by Abraham, no question about it. But rather than say, I'm not submitting to you, that's a bad decision, she submitted anyway, and she trusted God to protect her. You see? And that's what submission is. Submission is, I respect my husband, and the Lord will cover you. And same story happened, by the way, with Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac, hey, Rebekah, you're my sister. They must have had really pretty wives. Later the king saw Isaac caressing Rebekah. He says, it's not your sister. God protected the women each time. And so wives, you're a daughter of Sarah if you do what is right and don't give way to fear. Item 3, be diligent. So what do we got so far, ladies? Be submissive and respectful. Don't give way to fear. I took a long time to make that point. I apologize. And 3, be diligent. In other words, the wife is not called to laziness. Neither is a husband, but we're talking about the wives right now. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. It's defining sound doctrine. It says in verse 3, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be keepers at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Notice it's the role of the older women who have known Christ for a while to teach the younger women. What I'm teaching now is more commonly taught at a women's study. I don't do it from the pulpit very often. But it's really the older women who know these things I'm already saying to you. Someone like Janet, I'll use my wife as an example, or Val, or somebody like that. And then they teach the other women these principles. And what are the principles? To be keepers at home, busy at home, in my translation, and to love your husbands and children, be subject to your husband. And then Proverbs 31. Would you turn to Proverbs 31? Proverbs chapter 31. If you feel like you're getting a glut of scripture today, that's good for you. Proverbs 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her finger. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. All of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, and he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Yeah, there's a lot of Bible studies in just that chapter. She doesn't do all this in one day, by the way. She doesn't plant the vineyard and do all that in one day. But you get the impression this woman's diligent. She's a hard worker. And you know what the result is? Her husband's an elder. A good wife can turn out an elder for a husband, practically. Because she's being such a good wife that he's down here. You know, she's built up her husband. And her husband is enabled to be a spiritual leader because she's a good wife. And I'll leave that. Well, I know Jesus called me to pastor, not my wife, but he gave me a wife that enables me to be who I'm called to be by taking care of the home. And everywhere I ever transferred as a missionary, everywhere I ever transferred, Janet settled the home. I carried the Bible and read that. That's my leadership. And she settled the home by putting order in that house. And that's what God wants you to do, ladies. And finally, wives. Item D. I had romantic for the guys. I have to have something for you, right? Stay beautiful. Okay? I told the guys to stay romantic. And then they said, by the way, guys, you should also take showers and be handsome, okay? But what I'm talking about to the women here, stay beautiful. What I mean by that is don't forget that quality of that your husband was drawn to in terms of your inner and your outer beauty both. Again, quoting Proverbs 5:18, I will read that, or you can turn to it if you want. Proverbs 5, verse 18 and 19. It says, concerning marriage, it says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. In 1 Corinthians 7, I got the notation there for you, 3 through 5. It says, do not deprive each other sexually, but come together so you will not be tempted. There is an important place for sex in marriage, especially when you're young and desires are strong. And marriage is a place, we'll talk about this next week, where God intends that you be fulfilled. It's not the highest priority. Spiritual is most important. Mental, phileo is most. Agape, phileo, but there's also eros. And that's the attraction between a man and a woman. So ladies, does he like you to wear a dress? Wear a dress for him. What does he like? Does he like you to wear makeup? If he does, wear it. Maybe he doesn't. Does he like earrings? Earrings. I mean, just, I think it's, and I think it should be, that's true on both sides. But it's particularly true that you stay beautiful for your wife, for your husband, because that will keep the fire burning brightly, just as his romantic things will keep it burning brightly. And you can do whole studies about it. Did you know that men are provably primarily visual? Women are emotional. A woman gets romantic because of the things a man does and says. A guy gets romantic because, boy, are you good looking. There's a lot of that involved. So you want to remain, you want to keep that quality of being beautiful for your husband. May I summarize? And then we're going to close this. Husbands, you've got five things I've listed for you to do. Love sacrificially. Be gentle. Step up and lead, gentlemen. Have that Bible at the table. And listen to your wife respectfully. And be romantic. Women, submit to and respect your husbands. Don't be given to fear. Remember Sarah and the example of Jesus at the cross. And then be diligent. Work hard to anchor your home for your husband and for your family. And stay beautiful. I hope that helps somebody. Take the outline home and think on it. I want to tell you about baptism, but let's close in prayer. Why don't you all stand while we close in prayer? Stretch your legs. Father, we thank you for allowing us to meditate in great simplicity on marriage today. As we look at your word, Ephesians 5 and elsewhere, it's pretty simple, really. We are to love and submit. Help, Lord, us husbands to truly love our wives the way you've commanded us to and to lead our families. And help the wives, Father, to show respect to and adoration for their husbands. And I pray you a blessing upon the marriages in this church. Lord, thank you. May your spirit be working in us so that our marriages bring great honor to you, and also that we have joy in marriage. Lord, we know marriage is a mission field together. We all have assignments to do, but you desire that we have joy in our marriage. And I pray you, if any marriages here need healing today, I pray you would bring healing to that marriage. Where there needs to be forgiveness, let there be forgiveness. And let there be a new beginning of, I really want to submit to you, and I really want to love you. I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.